Jason, President Biden in recent weeks has been before the United Nations, and of course, he talked up the issue of climate change, so-called man-made climate change, wants to work with China, of all countries, on that. When you look at the Chinese and some other nations, are they really likely effective partners to work with relative to reducing CO2 emissions?
Well, they're working with us, and that's because they're working against us at every aspect and every turn. China will talk a great talk about their efforts to decarbonize, but they have no intentions of doing so and really don't need to, in my opinion. I've run the numbers, and if you look at the UN models to decarbonize, it doesn't do anything to mitigate a changing climate. It doesn't do anything to stop the planet from warming, if it is warming, and there are some data that show over the last 8 years it's not warming. But what it does do is it does increase the cost of everything. When you get American energy producers and when you get to globalists focused on reducing CO2 emissions, that's where the Chinese have realized, ha, we've got them. And now we can continue with our Belt and Road initiative to build more infrastructure. And that's exactly what they're doing. They add a coal-fired power plant every single week, something that we really need to be doing in this country. I've testified multiple times in front of the U.S. Congress, and I joke, sort of joke, that say of all the technology the Chinese steal from us, it'd be nice they would utilize our pollution control technology. They don't. They could care less about the environment or human rights, but we use coal in this country more responsibly than anywhere else on the planet, and we actually need to be using a lot more of it to provide affordable, reliable energy.
Is the United Nations, Jason, really an effective forum to have this discussion?
No, they're really not. I am a huge proponent of the U.S. getting out of the United Nations. Just in the last couple of days, Senator Mike Lee, I think, has called for the same. The Dutch foreign minister has called for people to get out of and countries to get out of the United Nations. They've just really become kind of a sounding piece for Antonio Gutierrez, who is really just this alarmist crybaby, if you will, constantly screaming and crying about climate change and quite honestly scaring people with misinformation that just couldn't be further from the truth. We're living wonderfully well over the last 100 years through this man-made industrial revolution that people think is the only thing that's changing the climate, which again, that couldn't be further from the truth. We've seen a 99% reduction in deaths from severe weather-related events over the last 100 years, and that's while our population has quadrupled on this planet. We're feeding more people. Access to affordable, reliable energy is the key to ending poverty, and people like Antonio Gutierrez at the UN and Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum, all they want to do is they want to control every aspect of our lives and make energy more expensive. And unfortunately, countries that are involved in the UN, namely the EU, they're embracing these policies that do that. And it's all under the guise of net zero and decarbonization, which again, doesn't do anything to mitigate a changing climate. I call decarbonization dangerous, deadly, and dumb.
Even looking back over the last 10, 15, 20 years here, Jason, and you look at the United States and the reduction that we've had in carbon emissions, have we not already made significant progress?
Yeah, we really have, and that's what happens if you're concerned about carbon emissions. Again, I'm not. CO2 is necessary for life on Earth. It makes up 0.04% of our atmosphere. If you eliminate all of it in the United States by 2050, the temperature differential by 2100 is less than 0.1 degree. There's no impact. And again, that's using the UN models. But where we have been leaders, we are environmental leaders in the world. We've reduced pollution, the 6 criteria pollutants that the EPA tracks that some people claim in really high concentrations are harmful to human health. A lot of things in high concentrations, water, oxygen, are harmful to human health. But those 6 criteria pollutants, we've reduced those nearly 80%. Over the last 5 decades, we've become world leaders in clean air. In fact, during the first 2 months of the COVID lockdowns, when there were 50% fewer vehicles on the road, some cities in the U.S., Austin, Texas is an example, the air quality got worse. So when you take all these vehicles off the road, it doesn't do anything to improve air quality in the U.S. their advocates say we need to go 100% electric. That doesn't do anything to improve the air quality. We've already got our air to practically a near a natural state, and it's our trading partners, India and China, that saw significant improvements in air quality during the first 2 months of the COVID lockdowns because they just don't use the technology that we do. And during those last 50 years, we've also become number one at access to clean and safe drinking water, something that millions of people, really about 3.5 billion people on the face of the earth, have no access to that clean drinking water, which could be answered with access to energy. And as I tell people here in the United States, we stand over the key to ending that poverty. And that key is the energy that we produce, whether it be oil, gas, coal, or nuclear electricity. And we need to be producing more of it and getting it around the world to our friends and lifting the world's poor out of poverty.
Speaking of electricity, what are we doing here, Jason, as we're seeing some portion of our vehicle fleet being switched over to electric vehicles? That, of course, increases electricity demand. Are we also building new power plants, be they coal-fired, natural gas-fired, or if the electricity is being produced in another way, nuclear, wind, solar? Are we actually increasing the inputs into the electric grid?
No, unfortunately, we are not. We are not adding reliable, affordable generation that is thermal generation. That's where you heat water to spin turbines, and you do that with coal, you do it with natural gas, you do it with nuclear. It's just not happening. We are not adding new reliable thermal generation to our grid. What we are adding, and this is a policy area I've worked on over the last two decades, this is the biggest threat to our country. We've seen it happen firsthand in Germany. They went on this, and the German word translates to energy turnaround. They embraced it last decade. And now they're actually turning around their energy turnaround because all that they've experienced, no cleaner air, no cleaner water, but what they have experienced is a lot less industry. They've deindustrialized. They've shifted production. You look at places like South Carolina, where the largest BMW manufacturing facility is in the world, and they moved there because that's where the customers are, but it's also where they have cheap, affordable, reliable energy, and South Carolina's got a great mix of nuclear. We need more nuclear in this country to provide. It's the safest form of electricity and energy on the planet. And then the products that we get from refined oil and gas and coal is also incredibly important. We need more oil, natural gas, and coal, and a lot more natural gas and coal-produced electricity. And again, with the pollution control technology that we use in this country, we get clean air and clean water from those and economic prosperity. And again, that economic prosperity turns into environmental leadership.
Should we also be advocating for more solar power, more wind power, more water power?
I'm fine with those things as long as they're not subsidized, because when they're subsidized, you have taxpayers that are paying for variable forms of electric generation. And then what you wind up paying is, as we've added more variable weather dependent, I fondly call them unreliables, as we've added more of them, we're paying for higher electricity costs. In Texas, we've had a 25% increase in the cost of electricity over the last 3 years alone. And that is going to threaten our industry. It's going to threaten our economic, what is commonly called the Texas model. We're seeing it in grids around the country. Everywhere they're adding more unreliable, weather-dependent generation, the costs are going up. That's crushing the least among us more than anyone else. That's why there's a lawsuit in California. It's the 200, which is over 200 civil rights organizations, are suing the California Air Resources Board, saying that their policies violate the Civil Rights Act. This is environmental justice. They're suing because the people in the communities of color in California are the ones that are facing the higher cost increase, and a higher percentage of their income are going towards energy. And it's just astronomical, the cost they've experienced in California and other places around the country. We need a more affordable, reliable American energy produced.
We have been talking with Jason Isaac, who is the founder and chief executive officer of the American Energy Institute. Jason, tell us a bit about American Energy Institute. Also, what's your website?
Sure. The website's AmericanEnergyInstitute.com. We are a 501c3 charitable organization in the process of building a trade organization that represents American energy producers that is free market. We want free market. We want to get rid of the market-distorting policies that are come out of D.C. and out of the states. Those market policies are subsidies in the that go to everybody. whether you produce hydrocarbons or whether you produce wind and solar electricity. But the market is so heavily distorted with that government interference, and we want to do that. And so we're building a trade organization to represent American energy producers. Our mission statement is really short: liberate America's energy, and we need to do that to lift the world's poor out of poverty.
Jason Isaac of the American Energy Institute. Jason, thank you for being with us.
Great to be on. Thanks for having me.